World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
The World Turns.
For viewers of the CBS soap opera, As the World Turns, first word came at about 1:40 p.m. Eastern Time. It happened too quickly for cameras to be in place.
And I gave it a great deal of thought, Grandpa.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Then it was back to the soap opera, but not for long. Soon after, Walter Cronkite was back, reporting from the CBS newsroom, complete with rotary telephones and wire machines.
This picture has just been transmitted by wire. It is a picture taken just a moment or two before the incident. If you can zoom in with that camera, we can get a closer look at this picture.
And almost exactly 1 hour after his initial bulletin, this now famous announcement.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
America died. November 22nd, 1963. We'll all remember that day. Well, today's the anniversary, so I don't even know if that's a term that you would use, an anniversary. Well, today is the day. As I mentioned a little bit yesterday, that's one of the most profound moments of my life. I was in the fifth grade. I can show you exactly. I could take you back and recreate. I was in fifth grade. How old is that? 11. I was in going to the bathroom. I was in my fifth grade class. I was in going to the bathroom, and the school bus driver, Mr. Wendell, some things are frozen in your mind. I was in the bathroom going to the bathroom, standing at the urinal, actually, and Mr. Wendell walked in, and there were a couple of us. You know, kids, they let kids go to the bathroom. They did. They let kids go to the bathroom all together. There's like five of us in there going to the bathroom. Boys were in the boys' restrooms. Girls, way back, it was a real old time, real old fashioned. Boys went in the boys' bathrooms, and girls went in the girls' bathrooms. And Mr. Wendell said, hey, boys, did you hear? President was just shot in Texas or something to that effect. I mean, I don't know if he said Dallas, Texas, whatever. Ran back in, told our teacher, and she didn't, Miss Headley, she didn't, you know, she didn't know what to say with all this news. And then it was about, I don't know, wasn't maybe 10 minutes later, principal comes over, Mr. Gall. Remember how you remember these things? Mr. Gall came over the public address system and made the announcement that the president had been killed, and that I vividly remember him leading us in prayer over the public address system, 1963, January 22nd, 1963. Everybody knows where they were that day except George Bush Sr. He doesn't know where he was. And then I thought it was interesting as I listened to that clip this morning. The opening line of that video, Jared, is that still up there, Jared? Is that video still up there? Just play the opening line from Walter Cronkite as he reads this. And you want to talk about starting a narrative from the very beginning that doesn't change. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Just right at the beginning of it. Listen to the narrative created for us right at the very beginning.
Soon after, Walter Cronkite was back, reporting from the CBS newsroom, complete with rotary telephones and wire machines.
This picture has just been transmitted by wire. It is a picture taken just
a... I'm sorry, but clear back to the beginning. Here we go. Okay, now listen to Walter Cronkite, the communist Walter Cronkite. Give us the narrative right at the beginning.
The next 30 minutes, as the world turns.
For viewers of the CBS soap opera, As the World Turns, first word came at about 1:40 p.m. Eastern Time. It happened too quickly for cameras to be in place.
And I gave it a great deal of thought, Grandpa.
Here we go.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
You can stop. There it is. Three shots were fired at President Kennedy, and that tune never changed. From then on, it never changed. They stuck to that baby. Clear to the very end. Is that unbelievable?
They could have been 10 minutes in.
Yeah, 10 minutes in. Three shots rang out. Amazing, huh? Shows that the plan was already in place. Not that shots were fired, but three shots were fired. Three shots rang out. Unbelievable. So as I always tell everybody, that's the day America died, in my opinion. From that day forward, we... probably earlier than that, we were being lied to, but certainly from that day forward, America was never ever the same. A deep state, the swamp took over. Alan Dulles was the head of the CIA, the head of the deep swamp. He was the one that concocted the whole thing. Alan Dulles actually served on the Warren Commission. LBJ appointed him to the Warren Commission. And here we are, how many years did I say? 54 years later, and they just released the latest information regarding the Kennedy assassination, and they still won't give us the whole story. Isn't that amazing? 54 years later, they still can't give us the whole story of what happened. Why is that? Well, we know. Because it'll show us the connections of the deep state. And some of the people are still alive who are deeply connected to it. America's never been the same. Anybody jump in here before I shift gears on you. Got
bushes. Bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's the reason why they can't release the files, because there's still one person who's alive right now.
Yep, that's right.
From his wheelchair, if those files come out.
Well, not only that, Vinny, his family's still alive. He has a son that's still alive too, right?
Yes, he does.
So, if they were to let that out, we're talking about a Poppy Bush. Poppy Bush, who worked for the CIA. Most people don't know that he was head of the CIA. George Bush, President Bush, was head of the Central Intelligence Agency, became President of the United States. What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. Anybody else jump in here with a comment at all?
Before I finish, let me also mention that John Costella did analysis of the Zapruder film and proved the hoax, and also proved that the limo stopped.
Vinny, I kind of this morning said, am I going to do a show on the Kennedy assassination? And I thought, I was tempted to do it. I got so much stuff. I can show you a video right now. I don't know if I can find it. An image. You know, there were eight shooters in Dealey Plaza that day. It's almost beyond. We know it, right? Hey, guys, come on. You don't believe 911 happened like they told you, do you? You don't believe that, do you? No. And think how sophisticated we are. Think back then. Imagine if they were to try to kill Kennedy today, all the cell phone video and stuff there would be. There was simply one video, Abraham Zapruder. That was the only video of that assassination. Think what it would be like today. So they couldn't pull it off that way anymore, could they? They'd have to go about some other way of doing it, I would assume. And maybe we'll do. I don't want to get trapped on the Kennedy assassination. The great conspiracy theory of all time, and it was the CIA who, right about this time, came up with the phrase conspiracy theory. The CIA planted that idea in the minds of Americans, and still today we talk about conspiracy theories, and that was a creation of the CIA. Anybody else? I don't want to bore you. Okay, I got something else I got to show you, and then we're going to see where the Lord takes us here. Can I show you something? Guys, hey, Jared, I sent you, it's all by itself, Jared. It just says picture of Jesus. I think you see that. This popped up on my Facebook page about four times yesterday, different people forwarding it. And I looked at it, I showed my wife, I said, honey, is there any reason why we lose? I want everybody to freeze right now. Freeze right now. I want you to close your eyes. Come on. Come on, Lindsay, play along here. Close your eyes. Close your eyes here. Just close your eyes and picture right now Jesus, an image of Jesus, what Jesus looks like. Create that in your mind. Because remember, you'll serve the God you see. You'll serve the Jesus that you see. We could read in the book of Revelation. In fact, we're going to go there, Jared, soon as I get done here. Okay, have I got an image of Jesus? Okay. Jared, let's pull that up there on our screen. That made me puke. Help me out here. Does this picture of Jesus, I don't even know what to say. Does this look like a guy that in Matthew 16 they confuse with John the Baptist? Does that look like him? If this is our opinion of Jesus, I'd rather have a picture of John Wayne or Clint Eastwood or some macho man. And this, I believe, has been done to us on purpose. This is part of the programming of what they've done against us in Christianity. Remember, the Bible says somewhere, Isaiah maybe, that there was nothing comely about him. Evidently, Jesus wasn't a very good looking guy, although he probably was, he was a carpenter. He probably had strong arms and probably was built, I would imagine, hard labor, working hard. Look at this guy. Hey guys, does he have makeup on? And did he really have green eyes? Or were they blue? Or did he have brown eyes? And so for most of us, hear me now, this image kept getting forwarded. It wasn't just one I just stole out of nowhere. On my Facebook page, I have a Facebook friend, whatever you want to call him, who's always posting things about what I won't even go into that. And this is the picture he puts up. And people post it and repost it and share it and share it and repost it and repost it. I just thought I'd show you that this morning.
Dave.
Is that the image? Yeah.
It reminds me of that transgender guy that's both male and female with the beard.
I know the image you're referring to, right? Yeah.
Dave, let me throw something out here, just a theory, or just something maybe to consider. What if that's actually a picture of Satan? He was known to be a good-looking man, had musical instruments hanging off of him, manifested, like that. So the earliest picture of Christ was done 500 years after his death. Nobody's got that good a memory.
No, well, first of all, come on. Isn't what he looked like? Come on. Come on. Right? Serve the God you see. And unfortunately, that's the guy they see right there. I don't know if I've ever seen a more exactly like you just said. Transgender Jesus is what looks like to me. Lord, I'm not trying to blaspheme your name. You get what I'm talking about here. By the way.
Maybe we could find an image of the shroud.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a little bit better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Image of the shroud. What that image? Jared will probably pull that up for us. See, Jared's always on top of it. I don't want to get bogged down on this, okay? I don't want to get bogged down. But guys, we are being programmed everywhere we turn. We're being programmed. Jared's going to, okay, there we are. Now they're trying to show some images of what, see, even with this, what did he look like? By the way, what does it matter? What does it matter? The Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that later on here today. So, I ought to get Casper on. Let him talk to us about the Shroud of Turin. There it is. There's the image, supposed image of Jesus. Okay. Let's jump on here. One more thing. Sorry, guys. A little bit of fluff here before we get into the meat here the day before Thanksgiving. Jared, go to my Facebook. Jared, click right on the stuff I sent you. It says Reliant. Guys, I've been talking to you about the movie that my friend Dr. Patrick Johnston has produced called The Reliant, starring Kevin Sorbo and Brian Bosworth. Freeze it up for a second, Jared. Kevin Sorbo and Brian Bosworth and Nicole C. Mullen and the Venom Brothers and Brian Roberts. And this is the second cut now of this movie. I'm telling you, this movie's going to be something. It's going to be a Christian hit. I don't know when it's coming out. You guys know that the guy who did this, Dr. Patrick Johnston, is the husband of the activist mommy. They're friends of ours. Dr. Patrick Johnston is the one who wrote and produced this movie. And his wife, Elizabeth Johnston, mother of 10, is the activist mommy. They're a power couple, I guess, in the gospel. And this is just a 2-minute teaser of, you saw the first one, I think. By the way, I'm in it here coming. I won't show you where. You know, I can't hardly see me anyway. Doesn't matter. Just an extra. But watch this. This movie's going to be big. And probably going to be released sometime here in the spring coming up. Go ahead and play this real quick, Jared.
Wedding dress is when I'm walking down the aisle.
Marriage isn't always going to be easy.
For better or for worse.
Love is it's a sacrifice.
I may never be any more worthy of you than I am of grace.
Leave us alone.
What's happening?
John's not under attack. People are getting killed. We have to get out of here. Right now, we need to leave.
Leave? I'm supposed to be getting married in 39 days, Dad.
People are dying just 2 miles away.
Daddy!
Sophie, go! Go, get out of here! Run!
It's chaos. It's anarchy.
There's a family dream. 3 meals a day. And kids. And bedtime prayers. It's over. It's adapt or die.
Oh, I've never, no, never, no love like this before.
I don't know how much more I can take.
Like a kiss from heaven to earth.
Oh, thank God. My dream was to marry a man who would be a good husband.
Give me another chance.
Can kids see that he's changed?
I'm sorry.
If you could tell us one thing. You tell us that God is still good.
You are my
boy. You are armed and dangerous.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
We are staying together. We are trusting God.
The only good answer for the question why is believe.
Mercy is the light that swallows up all the darkness.
Wow, huh? Guns, God, questioning faith, persecution, running for your life. This movie's got everything in it. You know, when Doc came to me about 2 years ago now, told me he's going to have a screenplay written and he's going to try to turn it into a movie. I kind of chuckled. And then he starts putting money into it, tried to raise $100,000 and raised $100,000 and started putting money into it. And then he said, golly, you won't believe who we just signed. He said, Kevin Sorbo. Now, Kevin Sorbo is the number one box office draw in Christian media. He, God's Not Dead. He was Hercules. Kevin Sorbo signed on to do the movie. Then Brian Bosworth signed on. And then Brian Rock. I mean, this is gonna be something. And Doc probably wouldn't mind me saying that this went from a $100,000 production to about $1 million production. And they're in the process now of getting it into theaters near you. Probably coming in the spring. So I want you to see that. Anybody? Jeff? Anybody got a comment about that? See, this is. They say that this movie is Sorbo signed on to it. And Bosworth signed on to it because there's nothing like that in Christian genre. I use that word because it makes me sound smart. There's nothing like that in Christian movies. Guns, killing, questioning God, nothing like it ever. And it's ironic, isn't it, that where we are in America and the use of guns and all that stuff and the importance of it, it's going to be a timely movie. Anybody?
It looks fantastic.
Yep, The Reliant, coming to a theater near you. Excited about it. Cool. All right. Let me see over here. Anybody got anything for the good of the group before we dive into what we're diving into now? Hey, Sarge, I think according to what we did last night, the email we shared last night, we can Maybe you can talk a little bit about what we're going to do here April 20,
21, 22. Yeah, absolutely. We have a venue plan in Canton or Caton. I'm not sure how
Canton.
Ohio. April 20.
Hey, Sarge, come on, man. Canton, Ohio. It's the birthplace of the NFL. It's where the Football Hall of Fame is. Canton, Ohio. Come on, Bronco Nagurski.
I knew there were certain portions of Ohio I didn't like, and that just confirmed it. Anyway, we're going to have a really good weekend. We've got a nice hotel lined up, and we've got some good speakers coming on board. Got some confirmations from L.A., Marzulli, and Russ Dizar, and Pastor Paul Begley, and others to follow. And
Mike Spalding.
This is going to be a different kind of weekend for people who attend because – as you know, Coach is all about doing something, hit somebody, as he said out in Boise. The plan is to have call to actions, and we're going to make our speakers we're going to hold them to the fire to say, look, you can get up and talk about what you know and this research you've done, but we want you to give everyone in the audience the next thing that they can get plugged into. We're not going to send you home empty-handed. We want you to get plugged into what's happening. There's an acceleration occurring, and people and the remnant and the church body of Christ need to get connected, and we're going to help you do that.
That's April 20, 21, and 22. Folks, you can go ahead and put it on your calendar. We don't have the tickets, the site up and running yet, but we're in the process of getting that done, but go ahead and book it. I mentioned it today because Paul Begley, he's going to release it to his audience today, which he has a large audience. We believe we can hold 350. That may not sound like a lot, but that's a good crowd. And we believe that 350 people are going to come. So you might want to try to get, well, you can't get in there yet because we don't have the site set up. But
just look on the homepage, CoachDaveLive.com. We'll have a link right on the homepage.
Mark Trump's going to be one of our presenters talking about cyber, what the heck's going on in the cyber world. And as Kevin said, we're action, man. We're action. And so we're going to try to spur people on. Okay, cool. Anybody else want to jump in? You got 19 of you and you got room for a few more. You want to be part of it. Oh, I got to say this. God bless all of you. Man, I've been getting a list of people out there who are interested in the ordination process. Want to hear from some more of you. And I appreciate some guys who've sent me information they had on the ordination process, you know, the statement of faith, all that. I appreciate all that stuff. We're going to pull all of that together. And for just a real quick review, for those of you maybe haven't heard it before, we are going to open up an ordination process through Pass Assault Ministries, where we're going to put the stamp, the man's stamp of approval upon the call of God on your life. And that for many people say, well, it's just, you know, it's just a piece of paper. Well, it is just a piece of paper, but that piece of paper matters. It does, in fact, matter. And we believe that the piece of paper for the world is nothing more than the stamp of the world, of government, upon the call of God upon your life. So if you're interested in going through the ordination process, we're going to set up a little procedure. We're going to go through, going to actually have an ordination and let you, right where you are, become an ordained minister. Folks, I believe we are on the verge of, I don't know, I think, let me take a minute here. Because I know the reputation I'm getting, and that's the reputation of a church basher. Say, I hear a lot from people say, boy, he's beat up on the local church. Well, I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. I'm not beating up on the local church. It's not my intention. I'll say it before Larry gets in. Many of the churches you're in, folks, aren't churches. They're not churches. I mean, you can call them churches. The gospel is not going forth in many churches. It's just not going forth. And I don't even know how to, I don't know how to be me and try to bring the information that in my heart, bring the information to you without it appearing like I'm bashing them. If I say to my wife, if my wife cooks a beautiful meal, as she did last night, and I say something that I didn't like about the meal, She never receives that the right way. That's not, that never comes across good. Criticism never comes across good. And then I hear people say, Coach, how can you beat up on the body of Christ or the bride of Christ? Well, I don't want to get too deeply into that one, brothers and sisters, but the church is the body of Christ. It isn't the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ, it says twice in Revelation, is in the New Jerusalem, descending down descending down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. It says it twice. We are the body of Christ. And we know from Scripture that they tell us that the wheat and the tares are growing up together. They're growing up together in this thing that we're calling the church. And all I'm trying to do is point out to those of you, I take it seriously that you are trapped in dead churches. It bothers me. I don't hate your pastor. I don't hate your church. I hate what's happening inside of you, that you're not being called to the fullness of Christ in your own life, because you are trapped in a box that for the most part is void of truth, void of life. I'm sorry if it comes. You know the ones who get mad about church bash? You know the ones who get on me about being a church basher? Are the guys, ones who are running churches. And, you know, if I was some hang on a minute. Rick Warren wrote a book. What was it? Purpose-driven life, then purpose-driven church. And by the thousands, maybe millions, pastors were drawn to study this book about how to have a more effective church. Nobody accused him of being a church basher. But if he's telling you how to be a more effective church, he must be telling you what you're doing isn't effective. He's probably just doing it in a different way than I do it. Or as an email I read yesterday from one of the guys in the queue, you know, my combative style. Well, that's who I am. My listen, I have many pastors who are my friends. I love pastors. I love pastors. The real ones who are really doing the work and really getting down the nitty gritty and really care about the people and are really doing all they can to bring truth. I love pastors, but I don't like fake pastors. And I don't like this form of godliness that denies the power there. I don't like that. And I speak out against it. And it causes me some headaches. And it causes me to lose some friends. But I'm going to be loyal to what I believe the Lord has called me to do. And we don't think anything at all. Go to the Cleveland newspaper right now. Go to the Cleveland newspaper and watch how many people are criticizing the football coach at the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. Just go there. Wait till Ohio State beats Michigan or gets beat by Michigan and watch how many people are criticizing the coach. And I'm looking at our churches where the devil is running rampant in society and in our culture. I'm looking at it and I said, man, there is something seriously wrong here with our team. And I'm sorry, I don't know. Do I blame the players? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Blame the players? Or do I blame the coaches?
Dave.
Yes.
You had talked about this, and I think I made a comment a week ago, and I won't mean to repeat it, but I will. We're not, I don't believe anymore that we are bashing the church. We're stating the facts. We're stating the data. We're challenging the status quo. That is not bashing the church. The problem is they want to hear it, and many of the people sitting in the pew take it to heart that they're part of the problem, which they are. So we're not bashing. I don't tell me that anymore. That
hey, Dave, you're a calm guy. You're not bashing the church. And Roger, you're a lawyer guy. You're stating it your way. I'm going to tell you the way I see it. We're exposing satanic social clubs.
Amen. We are exposing. Hey, David Hawkins joined us. Pastor David. David, is your microphone open? Open, Dave. I don't know if Dave can get in here or not. Larry. Yes, Larry. And here's the danger we run. I believe that there are many people in the church, in these churches. Larry calls them the satanic social clubs. I believe there are many people in there who have a heart after the Lord. It's like, pardon this example, but I'm going to tell you something. It was like when I was home, when I was growing up, my mom used to make spaghetti. And I realized that mom made spaghetti because spaghetti fed a lot of people. We had a big family. And mom's made spaghetti. And so I grew up eating spaghetti. And then I married Michelle, my wife, from an Italian family. And she made spaghetti. You know what I'm talking about? She made spaghetti, man. Spaghetti and lasagna and Yankees and all this Italian food. Now, if I'd have stayed in my family the whole life, I would have thought my mom was giving me spaghetti. Because it was.
Yes, if you were.
But there's a deeper. Yeah, are you getting my analogy here? And so my heart is for those who are sitting in these churches just eating noodles. They're just eating noodles. No garlic, no cheese, no those little green things, cloves, whatever. The way my wife makes spaghetti. Oh, my, are you kidding me? Salads. My mom used to just give us lettuce and cut up a few carrots, and I'd put some French dressing on it. Then I married Michelle, and she puts peanuts in it and almonds and cheese. And, oh, my goodness, she makes a salad. So I'm worried about those who are sitting in churches. They're just eating bland food. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, Coach, I'm in.
Thanks, man. I know. I just felt like I ought to answer that church bashing. Just maybe can, Glenn, maybe can forward that segment right there. I ain't bashing the church. I'm not bashing the church. I'm trying to find the church. I'm trying to wake up the church. I'm trying to mobilize the church. God, I've wasted 29 minutes. And I want to get to this right here. Jared, pull it up for me, brother. Let's go to today's link. And here, no, I'm sorry, the stuff I sent you. I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit. Talk to you about the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. Look at me. I'm not a theologian. Okay? I haven't been to cemetery. I'm telling you, of 30, how long has it been? 1987. 30 years of a walk with Jesus. The ups and the downs. The ins and the outs. Being in different churches. Being in different environments. I was a product of the Christian environment I was birthed in. I was a product of that. And until I got out of that environment and into another environment, I didn't even know there was another one existed. And then I got into another environment for a while, a charismatic environment. And I went through that period of my life. I believe in the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about that today. And then I evolved out of that. Now I evolved into a little bit, well, I'm going to show you here in a second. We need to ask ourselves, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? When Jesus said that it was expedient that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter, send another one. And he who is with you is going to be in you, and he's going to convict the world of sin. Jesus sent that. And one of the things that's happened, I'm going to show you a video here in a second. One of the things that's happened to us is we have confused the person, of the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've confused those two. Yeah. And we've made the Holy Spirit of God almost of no use with our foolishness and charismania. Did somebody try to say something? Okay. Listen. God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I was going to wait until you said what you said, but I'm going to say it this because it's going to lay the foundation for what you're going to say. You know, in the law, there's a statement, you know, ignorance is no excuse. However, in the Bible, ignorance is an allowable excuse. And I will show the verse that demonstrates this. And the verse is 1 Corinthians 14:20. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding." How about in malice, which is related to the word iniquity or, you know, sinfulness. "In malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." It gives you an excuse of not, you can be a child in what you do if you didn't understand that what you're doing is wrong. And that's what this exposing satanic social clubs is all about. It's about the people that are sitting in there that don't belong there, that aren't involved in the leadership of it and in the propagation of it. It's those that have been sucked in. But in their understanding, they better start growing up. That excuse that's there, be children in your malice, that excuse is sandwiched in between two admonitions to grow up, become more mature, increase your understanding. Now what you're going to say is going to have a little different picture to it.
Thanks, Larry. I underlined it actually when you did that. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. So, you guys, I hope you're hearing my heart. My heart's for these people who are trapped. They're trapped as children. That's my concern. They're trapped as children. And you know what? They're going to continue to be trapped as children until I did what my kid with my kids. I threw them in the pond and made them swim. When the pond, it was a pool. I threw them in the pool, made them swim. Taught them to swim. And they wouldn't jump off the edge. And finally, I pushed them off the edge. And they swam. When are we going to get out of the shallow water into the deep water? Well, here it is. Now, listen, I'm not... Lord, help me here. I'm showing this just to show you. Guys, let me come back to it. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit to make you fall out in church? Is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? See, we worship the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We think the gifts are the Holy Spirit. Bear with me a second. You know that you are a spirit? You know you're not a man? You're not a body? You know that? You know that Jesus was a body, but that body wasn't Jesus. Jesus occupied a body. And Jesus, when he died, he left that body. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is a person? See, the Trinity is hard to explain. The Holy Spirit is a person just like Jesus, except he never had a body. And have a body. The Lord told us, John 3, bear with me. I'm sorry. I'm walking through this with fear and trembling. Nicodemus said, you must be born again. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can I enter back in? Go there, Jared, John 3 real quick. Hey guys, I'm not, this isn't for those ordained ministers like Larry. Just kidding, Larry. This is all of us. We need to get this. John 3, the most famous scripture in all the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's not miss what leads up to that verse, all right? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he's a religious dude. He knew all the rules and the regulations and the ins and the outs. He understood all that. Then he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. I could preach on this, but I'm not. And Jesus answered him and said, hey, Nick, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, this is right. He's a big leader. Nicodemus says, huh? How can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter back the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus is talking to a blind religious leader. Okay? Jesus said, well, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. By the way, kingdom of God. There's that word again, kingdom of God. Watch. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that to say to you, you must be born again, because the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, cannot tell where it came from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. He compares the Spirit of God to wind. To wind. Wind. The Holy Spirit is a person. He just doesn't have a body. He's a person. Just like you're a person. And you didn't have a body till you were born. Jesus said, who was it that said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. A pre-existent you before you were born. Because you are a spirit that possesses a soul. Am I making sense here? Somebody give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I'm trying to paint a picture here. We've got God the Father. We've got God the Father. We've got God the Son who came bodily. He came bodily. He came into a body. And then he left and he said, I'm going to send you another one. And who's this other one he's sending you? He's sending you this other part of the Trinity, this Holy Spirit guy that doesn't have a body. He doesn't have a body. Why? Because he's like the wind. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. It's the Spirit of God. It's everywhere. And that he that was with you is going to be in you. But he can't be in you if he has a body. Whew. That felt good. I don't know if it made sense. So what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? See, I'm going to go out and do a month on this. I can take you to Galatians where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Is that in Galatians? I think it is. Jared, I'm sorry I got you jumping around here today. It's all right. Somebody tell me it's okay. Make me feel better here.
Come on, you're good, Coach. It's all good, brother.
You're good, Coach. Go to Galatians 5, Jared. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Because here's what it is, guys. We don't understand. Galatians 5, a little bit farther down, Jared. On down. Okay, here you are. Here you are. Guys, look. And then I say, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you cannot do. But if you be led in the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these. And it gives us the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. This is what the human body does. Keep going on down, Jared. And then he says, but if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 27. Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry, Jared, go up. There, stop right there. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And in American church, we worship the gifts. We seek the gifts and not the person of the Holy Spirit. And because we seek the gifts, that's why people walk into, people say, well, we go to a Spirit-filled church. What? The other one on the corner, is that what, a half-filled church? Is it a quarter-filled church? Is it a no-Spirit church? What do you mean you have a Spirit-filled church? You tell me that you go to a Spirit-filled church and you never take it outside the four walls? You never go try to defend an unborn baby? You're in a Spirit-filled church and you don't stand up for the truth? You're in a Spirit-filled church and you don't go out and call homosexuality sin? You're in a Spirit-filled church and you don't do anything outside the church? Are you kidding me? Because, see, we have been programmed that the Spirit only falls inside the church. So people go to places like this. I'm not making fun. Jared, they get that video ready. People go to places like this, and they walk away and say, oh, the Holy Spirit was so thick today. Here we go. You can find a million of these on the Internet, million of them. And I've been in services like this. I'm not making fun of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm saying stop chasing the fruit. Stop chasing the gifts and start chasing the same Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which will guide you unto all truth and convict the world of sin. How can the Holy Spirit be in your church, Spirit-filled church, and there's no conviction of sin? And no conviction of sin in you that wants to go out and tell the world to be convicted of sin? How can that be? And so, Spirit-filled churches have become this. Why, there's no power. Go ahead and play it, Jared. It's only a minute and a half.
Preston, are you ready? You want something? Take it! That's yours tonight. You want it? You want it? Take it! You want it tonight? Take it! The power of the Holy Ghost! Take it! Oh, take it! Take it! Take it! And the power of the Holy Ghost! The anointing of the Holy Ghost. You want it? You want it? Take it! That's the power of the Holy Ghost. You want it tonight? You want it? Take it! That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you want something?
of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost.
The anointing of the Holy Ghost. You want it? You want it? Let me ask a question. What for? Why? Why do you want it? You want it? The anointing of the Holy Ghost? Or what? To get knocked down? To get more money? What? Why do you want? See, guys, this is why you walk into a Baptist church, for the most part. I'm going to say it. They don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Not really. They don't believe in the baptism. Can promise you that. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they look at these guys doing this, and they think, what in the... Those folks are nuts! In the same body of Christ. The same body of Christ. And you know what? The Lord's prompted my heart twice as I've been talking to you right now. The Holy Spirit said to me, you want to see the power of the Holy Ghost, go back and play that video of Flip Benham at the press conference for Judge Roy Moore the other day.
Coach?
Get that ready, Jared. See if you can find that again, Jared. Yes, Sarah.
What we just witnessed, in my opinion, and mine alone, that was not the Holy Spirit. That was not of God. The Holy Spirit, I have been taught and have been told, is a gentleman. Just like Jesus is. He's not going to plow someone over. That's only my opinion.
Okay, well, Sarah, let me say this. This is for me now, okay? I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if it is or not.
Okay.
But to think that's all the Holy Spirit can do is knock you down. That's it. You want some of this? You want some of this? To do what? To do what? Why would you want some of it? To do what? See, they never answer that question. I want some of it to do this. I want some of it to do that. I want some of it. Give me some of that. To do what? We want the gifts? We're chasing after the gifts? Chasing after the gifts? I know Jared's right now trying to find. Hey, hang on. Holy Ghost is in me right now. I don't know if you can pick up on it or not. The Holy Spirit's. I ain't falling over. I'm not getting knocked down. But I'm trying to convict the world of sin, doing the best I can to convict the world of sin. Hey, Jared's working hard. Yes. Yeah, right. Hey, listen, guys, I'm going to finish this tomorrow. I'm not going to get nearly where I want. I'm laying this introduction. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I was just going to say that I was at one of the mega churches last Thursday with a fellow Huddle listener, and I loved everything about it, but, you know, the Baptist in me just couldn't accept some things, and I think I'm pretty normal on that. But I think when I hear what you said, you know, what are you going to do with it? They stop at, you know, let's do a food thing to give food out. It's always tied to service, to love. Very seldom do I see it tied to real action points other than in those areas. And that's what always bothers me, because the gospel is more than just feeding the poor. It's more than just we love everybody. They're not taking that with it into areas of the Bible that are clearly meant to be taken to. As simple as calling out sin. That's where we begin, is sin. Or is saved by the blood. And so seldom does whatever you get from that go there.
Right. And the number one job was what? Is to convict the world of sin. That's the number one purpose of the Holy Spirit, to convict the world of sin. And instead we're welcoming sin. We're welcoming. Jared's working hard. Still, I'm looking forward to Jared trying to find that clip of Flip when he speaks and the Spirit of God falls all over him. Jared, it doesn't matter. I appreciate you trying to find it. We'll find it tomorrow.
Well, I believe Jesus spoke in Mark chapter 16, and he says, "And these signs shall follow you who believe." We're not supposed to chase the signs. The signs are supposed to follow. And let me just.
Amen, brother.
But brother, I'm with you on this, but the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin. When we're convicted of sin, guess what? It produces. Now, who do you give gifts to? You give gifts to those who are obedient and to love you. So the gifts are given to those who are what? Convicted of sin. This other stuff is the fruit of. In other words, the outpouring of is that these things will begin to follow you. But it is not. Listen to me, whether it's a move or not move, but I know this. If God knocks you down and you don't get up changed, that's not God. That's an emotion. That's an emotional feeling.
Or deal. Get knocked down to get up and do something about it, right? To get up and do something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it don't change you, then that wasn't God, because God's going to change you. Convict you of your sin and of righteousness. And then guess what? I have been knocked down, brother. I want to tell you something. I have been knocked down under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it changed me. It changed me.
Me too, brother. Me too. That's what I'm saying. Me too.
But the signs are to follow us. And I tell our church all the time, if you're seeking signs, that's not God. God has called us and said that these signs will follow us who believe. We don't chase them. They follow us.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. I'm still looking. It doesn't matter. Hey, you guys know what, you know, Dave. What it's like on the whole. Yes.
Maybe he can take his congregation down to the abortion mill and knock them down in front of the entrance.
There you go, brother. Huh? Maybe. Rich, that's exactly my point. Knock
the
them all down.
The problem is that, unfortunately,
pile them all up there.
Many of them.
Good deal.
Yeah, well, the problem is that many of them are going to the abortion clinic, brother. Let's be truthful about this, right? Many of them are going to the abortion clinic. They're getting up off the floor, and then they're going to the abortion clinic to kill their babies.
They are. That's right, brother. That's right. Why? Because they're not convicted of sin. Now, listen.
Amen.
So, see, here I am again. Now, I'm church bashing. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you are going to a church where there is no conviction of sin, boys and girls, the Holy Spirit ain't there. Now, he may be in the individuals. He might be. But if he is in you and you're going to the church where the Holy Spirit ain't, then he's pecking on your chest every night telling you to get out of there. Hey. Now, nobody's going to say it. Nobody's going to say this kind of stuff to me, I guess. Nobody's going to say it. But if that Holy Spirit's telling you, get out of here.
You know, I said it the other day, but I think it flew over a lot of people's heads or just missed their ears this time. But over 20 years ago, I was mowing the lawn, and that Spirit of God on the inside spoke to me, and it was just as clear as a bell. I don't know if it was out loud or not. I don't know. But it said, groups, I use the word churches, groups that claim to be Spirit-filled, I want you to know that if they are not first Spirit-led, then they're not filled by my Spirit. It may be somebody else's Spirit filling that church, doing stuff.
That's
but
right.
Unless that church is Spirit-led, it ain't God's Spirit filling that church.
Well,
that's right, Larry. It's a spirit, but it's not holy. Let's put it that way. There's a spirit, but it's not holy.
Folks, listen, I have a hard time. Lord, help me to say this in the right way. Some things are better felt than felt. Okay? Some things are better felt than felt. And I'm very leery of being critical of something. Somebody emailed me the other day. Said, you support Fred Phelps. How can anybody take you seriously? You guys know who Fred Phelps is, right? And I thought, how do I respond to this guy? I said, you know what? Here's what I responded to him. Fred Phelps is the God hates fags guy. Okay. Fred Phelps now dead. God hates fags guy. And I responded, listen, what Fred Phelps does doesn't witness to me. I wouldn't do that. But I'm going to be very careful to make sure that I am not criticizing another man's gift. And if Fred Phelps, I said to them, what if the Holy Spirit actually told Fred Phelps to go do that? It doesn't witness to me. I sure wouldn't do it. It looks like it drives people away from the gospel. But what if the Lord told Fred Phelps to do that? So I guard very carefully criticizing what somebody else is doing, because I don't know if Holy Spirit told him to do. Now, don't, that doesn't mean I accept everything, okay? It doesn't mean I accept everything. I can look at some stuff and say, boy, that's not of the Lord. That sure doesn't seem to be of the Lord. But I'm not going to come out publicly and criticize something, because what if the Lord really did call them to do that? Because you know why? There are people criticizing me all the time. Well, the Lord wouldn't have somebody attack the body of Christ like that. He's a divisive. He's sowing discord amongst the brethren. And I sit here today and tell you, I think the Lord's called me to do it.
John the Baptist.
Are you with me, guys? You understand that, Roger? John the Baptist. You guys, you understand what I'm saying?
John the Baptist.
So I'm John the Baptist. I'm careful to say, I told that guy, I'm not going to criticize Fred Phelps. I wouldn't do it. But what if the Lord told him to? Not for me. See, not for me to judge. Is it fellow believer? Not for me to judge. Let the Holy Spirit handle that one. I'm going to tell you this. Doesn't look good to me, but I don't know what the Lord's called him to do. Because then I'm no better than everybody else who's criticizing me all the time. Say, I'm Christian and he's not. Oh, that's Christian and that's not. I'm telling you, folks, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. We have people who are chasing after the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to the churches and they're getting slain in the Spirit, being knocked down, and they think they've had an experience with the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking, if you've had an experience with the Holy Spirit, why is your heart so callous to the lost outside the doors of the church? The conviction of sin. And going into and approving of people getting abortions. And approving of people engaging in sodomy. How can that be? How can that be? I'm boxing myself in here, boys and girls, and I'm not trying to. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Coach. Yes, let me give you just a laity idea of the Trinity, which will also empower exactly what you're saying about the Spirit of God is when you see power. Genesis says this, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. So you see that there's more than one there. That's the three of the Trinity. It said and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. But when God spoke, which was the Word, the Logos, the Word, which is Christ, Jesus says, I am the bread, I am the Word of life. The Spirit of God moved. The power of God moved. When you see it in the New Testament, you see the same thing. When the Spirit of God, Jesus said, it says, and the Spirit will come upon you, and it says, you will have this power to be my witnesses, to be my martyr. You'll have the power to what? John and Peter and the rest of them in the New Testament, the only time that they were able to cast out devils to do anything is that Jesus breathed his Spirit upon them. When the Spirit of God comes upon a man, they had to come out of that upper room. The Spirit of God came and drove them out of the upper room. When Jesus was ministry in John, it says that when the Spirit came upon him, he was baptized, it drove him into the desert. He never performed one miracle until the Spirit of God came upon him. And when he came out into the out of that, he began to proclaim the gospel. He began to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, and he began to do signs and wonders. They began to follow him. And so when we get the Spirit of God, it should drive us out of the four walls that we're the church without walls and without limit. We're supposed to now be empowered to go out and to proclaim and to live a life of holiness.
Dale, well, I'm going to get into it tomorrow, even though it's Thanksgiving. Yes, we're going to be here tomorrow, Thanksgiving. And it's going to be worth your time to get up, because I'm going to unveil some of this stuff about the Holy Spirit being a person. He's a person. He's a real person. Not somebody that, oh, Lord, here, have some of this. Have some of this. You know, guys, let me tell you something. If the Holy Spirit really touched you, you wouldn't be able to handle it. I got right over here. I got a light plug. All these lights here in the studio, they're plugged in right over here. When the show's over, I go over there and I pull out that plug and everything goes dark. And I come down in the morning and I go over and I plug in that plug and everything lights up. I'm going to tell you something. If you think that you can plug into the Holy Spirit and not have an illumination and a lightning come upon you, fire to come up into your bones, brother, stick your finger in a socket, see what happens. Just take your little finger and go over there and grab a little nail clipper or whatever and stick it in there and see what happens when you connect to that power. Think what would happen to this on the inside. Man, oh, man, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and in most parts of the world. Don't miss it. Don't miss it tomorrow. We're going to get into this thing deeper. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.